the mics are giving us all sorts of hassles and problems, and decided that only half of them want to work. Our elevator is giving us all sorts of hassles and problems, and decided it doesn't want to work at all. And I'm not so sure that the door on the office right now is locking, because this morning it decided it didn't want to entirely work and do what it was supposed to do. Broken, I think, in some senses, is humanity's standard operating status. If at any point in time in my life, in my home, everything is working exactly the way it's supposed to be, and nothing needs any repair, I get very, very nervous, because it means I've missed something. Because that never happens. Perfection in our lifetimes is not something that we get to enjoy. Now, imagine if I had all the money in the world and I could hire people to come in and do all this fun stuff for me, then, yeah, I could make sure everything worked all the time, but I think it would probably amount to me spending a lot of time calling the people who were supposed to fix the things for me, saying, you haven't fixed it yet, because broken is still humanity's fundamental operating procedure. Broken. This is how the disciples felt as they walked on the road to Emmaus. Broken. Everything that could go wrong had gone wrong. All of the plans they had were completely shattered. All of the anticipation that they had for what was going to come next, all of the great dreams and hopes that they'd had, especially, just think about it, as they made their entry into Jerusalem. The microphone's still trying to fall down. Done. As they're walking into Jerusalem that very first time, and everyone is shouting, Hosanna in the highest, and they're throwing their clothes and palm leaves on the ground so that Jesus's donkey doesn't even have to step on the dirty streets. I think the disciples were looking at each other going, things are finally going our way. Things are looking up. We're definitely on top of our game. Nothing could go wrong from this point forward. Never say that out loud, by the way. Never say to yourself, what could possibly go wrong? Because you'd be amazed what can possibly go wrong. Because as they're entering into Jerusalem, the question of what could possibly go wrong gets answered in the most dramatic and drastic of ways. The answer was everything they anticipated happening did not happen. Nothing that they anticipated not happening, oh, that couldn't happen, that all did happen. You will have times in your life when you experience the exact same. So here the disciples are walking to Emmaus. Now they're walking to Emmaus for a number of reasons, not least of which being they don't want to be in Jerusalem. They don't want to be in Jerusalem because things have gotten dangerous for followers of Christ. At any point they might themselves be facing imprisonment or worse, just for being those who followed Christ who died. They're hearing rumors that Christ has risen. And they don't know what to do with these rumors. And I think part of it is when we get far enough down, we have a hard time when we hear somebody tell us that things will get better. When we get far enough down, when we've gone through enough catastrophes and disasters, when enough in our life seems and looks broken, when we can't imagine how we are going to climb back up out of the hole that we've dug ourselves into, sometimes when somebody says to us, you know, everything is going to be okay, you don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear everything's going to be okay. You don't want to hear everything's going to work out, because that hole just feels too deep to ever get back out of, and it almost seems like they're making it harder and worse on you by implying that you have hope. So they were taking a walk to Emmaus to get away from the dangerous situation in Jerusalem, and Christ appears among them. He does this quite a few times after his resurrection, where he will appear to people and not make himself immediately evident, so that they don't necessarily know him the moment he shows up. And he says to them, "How are things going? How are you doing?" And how many times does someone ask us the question, "How are you doing?" and we lie. "How are you doing?" "I'm fine. How are you?" Doesn't matter how many awful things are going on in our life. We say that, you know, "I'm fine. I'm great. Life's good. How are you?" Fortunately, in this case, they come along and they say, Jesus arrives and says, "How is everything going with you fellas?" And they look at him and they basically say, "Rotten. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. How is it possible you don't know what happened in Jerusalem just recently?" Jesus says, "I don't know, tell me all about it." They say, "Well, we were following what we thought was going to be the Messiah, and he died." When Jesus then explains the scriptures to them and tells them that this was all prophesied, this is all foretold, that God had a plan for the salvation of humanity that was going to find itself in the life and in the death and in the resurrection of the Messiah. What the disciples say later is, "Didn't our hearts burn within us? Didn't we feel a sense of excitement and passion and hope when he spoke to us and told us these things?" I grew up in a part of the country where pessimism is encouraged. I don't know if you spent much time in West Virginia. We just generally assume that if things are bad, they can always get worse. And you know, you almost didn't want to say out loud that you thought something was going to go your way or that something was going to be all right, because you didn't want to jinx the thing. I think we all have a little bit of that in us. But it's such that as the disciples are walking along and Jesus is explaining, the narrative of Scripture all has always pointed to the Christ being crucified and resurrected. It says that their hearts were burning within them. But you know what they didn't do is they didn't say anything about it. I think they were listening to Jesus and they were like, "Okay, that all sounds really great, but I don't want to jinx anything. So I'm going to stick with pessimism for a little while longer." It's not until they get where they're going and Jesus sits down with them at the table and he breaks the bread, that gesture that Jesus reinterpreted out of the Seder meal on Passover night into what becomes, as we now know, communion, that they see Jesus for who he truly is. In that action of breaking the bread, their eyes are open. They see Christ for Christ, and then he's gone. In that moment, in that flash of recognition that, yes, actually everything is going to be okay. That, yes, God does have a plan. And that, yes, our salvation is imminent. They see it in the breaking of the bread. One of the things that we started doing during the season of COVID, that's just what an interesting season that was in the life of humanity, wasn't it? One of the things we here at First Lutheran started doing during that season was we went from doing communion every other week or first and third or whatever it was we'd been doing to doing communion on a weekly basis. A couple of reasons for that. One, there is nothing more Lutheran in all the world than weekly communion. In fact, Martin Luther and those who formed the Reformation that comes to be known as the Lutheran Church stated explicitly that worship is to always include communion. But we also did it because when we were separated and isolated when we found ourselves unable to gather together, to share in fellowship with each other, to actually draw strength from the body of Christ as a community of people. We needed that connection to God. We needed that tangible representation of Christ. And I stood out in that parking lot, rain or shine or snow or wind, and I offered communion through people's car windows as folks came through our drive-through communion after our online service every Sunday. Because we needed to see Christ revealed to us in the bread and in the wine. We needed to be reminded that God loves us so much that he's willing to give absolutely everything about himself to us, to the point of sacrificing his life and giving us his very body and blood as our own. We may come to church on any given Sunday having experienced any particular kind of week. Maybe it was a great week and all sorts of fun things and awesome things happened, and we're just happy with life. Or maybe you've had one of those weeks where the elevator breaks, the door lock breaks, the microphone breaks. Your bulletins all have misprints on them. Today's not the 13th. If you look at your bulletin, it's got the wrong date on it. Because things get broken. Things are wrong. Sometimes when we enter into God's presence, this is a moment when God needs to speak to us and say, it's going to be okay. I have a plan for your resurrection. I have a plan for your new life. I have a plan to save you. And I am with you and always will be. And if the word that is explained on a Sunday morning is insufficient, Christ goes on to say, and if it were not enough, I give you my very body and blood in order that you might see me revealed in your midst at the communion table. We are those who stand before God, not because we're perfect and whole and need nothing and can stand perfectly before the throne of God and be welcomed as fellow perfect beings. We come before God because we are the broken, because we are the disciples on the way to Emmaus, not ready yet or willing even to accept the full glory of God. We are those who need to see God revealed. We are those to whom God says, I am here. I am with you. I have a plan for goodness in your life, and I will give everything of myself to you to make that happen. See me, hear me, understand me. Let your hearts burn within your chest when you hear the words, and let your eyes see the presence of Christ when you see the bread broken. And this is what God promises to them on the road to Emmaus and us every time we stand before the throne of God in worship, in prayer, in day-to-day life. Every moment of our lives, God is there, walking with us. We may not always recognize him. Some days, we may be just as confused as the disciples of the walk to Emmaus, but God will always make the opportunity to reveal himself so that we know